We will remain standing this afternoon for the reading of God's Word. Our text will be a single verse from the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, verse 51. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is the Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the grand story of salvation and your revelation of it to us that we might know your ways and our life. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. What I want to discuss this afternoon on this Palm Sunday is the importance of appointments and the faithfulness of our Savior, Jesus. Now, I think all of us at whatever age can relate to keeping appointments. So help me with some examples of appointments that we can think of. Maybe some important ones, maybe some more common ones. What's that, dear? Yeah, my favorite, the dentist. Now, you're stealing my sermon here, Tony. How about some other ones, kids? What do you think of when somebody says an appointment? Got a meeting. Any of you guys have work to do? Do you set up appointments to get the work done? How about in our families? Do we eat dinner at certain times? What if you miss dinner? You'd get pretty hungry, wouldn't you? Calendar, because that's where we keep track of our appointments, huh? Birthdays, you know, we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries at our lunches every week because they remind us of some pretty important things, don't they? Our life and our life together for those that are married. So, its importance. And I think we also understand that the important appointments often come with a little more urgency. An appointment with your doctor to review a major test result because of some serious health concerns, that one probably should not be missed. More common ones can be shifted around. Putting off an appointment to have your nails done is not probably going to be the end of the world. So we look forward to, some we look forward to, others might rather be skipped. When we purchase tickets to the Messiah, oh boy, we really look forward to that appointment, and we would do all we can not to be late. But as Tony has rightly pointed out, when the dentist appointment is on the calendar, some of us look for almost any excuse to put it off. Some, like young people facing their appointment for the first driving test, might come with some mixed feelings. You're going to be scared and nervous, but can't wait all at the same time. So why talk about appointments on Palm Sunday? Well, it should be obvious to those who know the grand story of salvation that God has revealed to us in the Bible. Jesus has come to Jerusalem to keep the most important appointment in all of history. Our text at Luke 9:51 simply said, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem to keep his appointment." After this, Jesus began to reveal to his disciples as they journeyed on the agony and ultimate victory that awaited him at their appointed time in Jerusalem. What all of the gospel accounts reveal is that there was an appointed time for an appointed person to carry out an appointed task, a task that had been revealed all the way back in the garden and pointed to throughout the Old Testament. God announced this appointment in the garden when he told the serpent that one day the seed of the woman would crush his head while he could merely wound his heel. When the angel put a stop to the sacrifice of Abraham's son Isaac, the angel then told Abraham that God would himself provide the sacrifice, which Jesus was preparing to do in Jerusalem. A sacrifice we know that all of the law and the prophets pointed to. Here we need to clearly see the faithfulness of our Savior, carrying out what was needed to fulfill the sure promises of the Father, beyond anything that we could imagine from a human perspective. Sure promises that we see throughout the Bible, but more specifically in a place like Jeremiah chapter 33, where at verse 19 we read, "And the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah, saying, Thus says Jehovah, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be a day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne." And of course, that son was to be Jesus. And the prophet relates the faithfulness of Jesus to what we would consider even more sure than death and taxes: the sun rising each morning. Kids, do you think the sun's going to come up tomorrow? Anybody think it's not going to come up tomorrow? Okay, no dissent. But why do you think it's going to come up tomorrow?
It always does.
Why does it always come up? Remember back in the first chapter of Genesis? It says that God placed the heavens, the stars, the sun, and the moon to keep the time and the seasons. He set a covenant with them, and they have faithfully followed his instructions. God rules all of creation every day since. So as sure as we can know the sun will come up tomorrow, we can be sure that Jesus is going to keep his promises. We have an even more sure promise of Jesus going to Jerusalem to save his people from their sins, just as it was promised. We should reflect on this each and every time that we hear an officer of the church, as Pastor Liberati did this morning, declare that our sins have been forgiven in the worship service. That is a sure promise. We see God's promise in Jeremiah carried out as the gospel goes on to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 13, where at verse 47 we read, "And so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for the salvation to the ends of the earth." It's a broad, sweeping promise. "Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many of them as had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region." We should reflect on this each and every time that we come to this table, remembering that Jesus is present with us to the end of the age. The peace and security that we draw from this important week in the church calendar each year comes from reflecting on God's control of all things, including our salvation. God does not miss important appointments. And he loves appointments. If you do a word study on appointment or appointments in the scriptures, you'd find it is used very often. You would find God appointing the birth of children, like Seth, to carry on in the place of Abel, or Isaac as the heir of Abraham. You'd find God appointing wives for Isaac and later Boaz and others. We see God appointing judgments for the Egyptians because of their sin, and even later upon his own rebellious people. We see God appointing leaders like the priests and the kings in the nation of Israel. We see God appointing pagan empires to protect God's people in the book of Daniel. We see God appointing many feast days and sacrifices, and he even appointed the craftsmen that were to build the tabernacle and temple, and then the Levites to care for them. We see all of this coming together for the most important appointment in all of history, the time of visitation, referred to by Jesus as he approached Jerusalem, as we read this morning responsibly. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that made for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." They were without excuse, because all of those feasts and sacrifices had pointed to the great sacrifice that Jesus was about to offer at the appointed time. All of what those appointed priests and prophets and kings pointed to would now be fulfilled by the prophet, the priest, and the King of Kings, who has come to carry out his appointed task, saving his people from their sins. On Palm Sunday, we remember the Lord's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Those here last year may remember how we covered all of the various details as they came together. And they came together with loud hosannas being lifted up. And those proud religious leaders told Jesus to make the people stop. "It's outrageous what you're doing." And what Jesus said in response could be surprising. He said, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." And we should understand that Jesus meant exactly what he said, especially since he said the stones would immediately cry out. The rocks themselves would cry, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Now, we know having stones do things is not a big problem for God. Just look at the entire creation. But why were the stones ready to cry out on this particular day? Because it was the appointed day for the arrival of Jesus, just as God had said. When God sent his people off to Babylon, he told them they would be there for 70 years. As the 70 years came to an end, Daniel knew the end was near of the exile, and we find his great prayer in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. Daniel knew exactly what year they were sent into captivity, and we should remember that he could count to 70. So he knew the time was approaching for the exile to end. But when God answers his prayer, he gives Daniel much more than he had requested. He just wanted to know, when do we get to go back to Jerusalem? But God loves to give us more than we need. God confirmed that his people were going to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. They would do so by a decree from King Cyrus. And then God said there would be 70 weeks of years from that decree until the coming Messiah, which is 490 years. Today, many experts and higher critics and all the people who are smart have long discussions trying to figure out who King Cyrus really was and what year they would come back. Now, such discussions are really not surprising 2,500 years after a historical event. We have trouble with things that are just a couple of hundred years or maybe 10 years old. Excuse me. But we need to remember that the people back then were keeping track. This is why everyone, including the religious leaders, were expecting the Messiah. Not understanding who he was, but they were expecting him, even knowing that he would be born in Bethlehem, if we remember the Christmas story. This is why Simeon knew that he was holding the promised Messiah in his arms as a baby in the temple. I don't think they would have understood all the details that Daniel gives, any more than we do today, but they did understand the big picture. And it had been about 70 weeks of years, 490 years, since the decree of Cyrus. And the more important point is that Jesus knew the exact time, because he is now being revealed fully as the Son of God. Jesus knew this was his appointed day to ride into Jerusalem. Jesus came not to embrace or soak up the praises of the crowds. Jesus came at the appointed time to wage the decisive battle against the enemies of God, of his people, sin and death, and to crush the head of Satan. This battle would take a heavy toll on Jesus, as he had been warning his disciples, which we will remember Friday night, reflecting on his time on the cross. But next Sunday, we celebrate his victory over sin and death in the resurrection. Jesus has come to Jerusalem as the appointed man at the appointed time to accomplish the appointed task of saving his people from their sin. The people who would be his church, his bride, the new Jerusalem. He was the right man in the right place, waging the right battle for our souls. We should reflect upon these truths each year of our lives as we celebrate Palm Sunday in the church calendar, to remind us and to teach our children that we love and serve a faithful Savior who wages our battles. We know this because Luke tells us that when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus did not falter or turn back. He did not stray to the left or to the right, but entered Jerusalem on the appointed day to accomplish the task that his Father had sent him to do. This is why the Apostle Paul admonished the Corinthians to remember that all of our battles belong to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, we read, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Now, those are some serious and perhaps overwhelming points that the Apostle Paul makes there with his commands. But we should never despair. When the road before us seems a bit much, or we remember or too long for us to travel, we remember how we've learned to walk a mile or 100 miles or 1,000 miles. It's always by taking one step at a time. Now, with that in mind, I want to take us back to the importance of keeping some of the appointments in our life. First and foremost, we must remember that we have an appointment with God each week right here at 1 p.m., as Pastor Liberati has stressed in his recent messages. Yes, God has appointed elders here at Church of the King, and we have set up that important meeting with God where he renews covenant with us each and every week. We should not ignore that time, nor be late or unprepared. I also trust that each of us have an appointed time to spend with God in prayer and private devotions. We put a calendar out each month to help people kind of keep track and be accountable to doing some sort of devotion every week. And to see the importance of that appointment, lest you wander here and there, I have a simple experiment. You kids will love to do this, and parents will learn something. I want you to take 2 small plants. You can find them anywhere this time of year. It's spring. Take a couple of those little small potted plants and put them up in the kitchen window on either side. And I want you to water the first one on the left, because I'm left-handed. I want you to give it water every day. The one on the right, water it once a week, once every 2 weeks, whenever you feel like it. And then in a couple of weeks, let me know how those two flowers are doing, or two plants. Do you think the one on the left is going to do a little better than the one on the right? You know, regular water, regular devotions, they're important. The same can be said for our family devotions and quality time to converse either with your spouse or your children in our families. In our modern busy world with all sorts of challenges and distractions, any of these can seem overwhelming. But we must learn to do them one step at a time. You made it to church this week, so next week should be that much easier. Next appointment is just tomorrow, and then the day after, and on and on. Please do not lose sight of how important each of these appointments really are in our lives. Now, there's a lot more that I could be saying about families, relationships, and dads and mothers, and I providentially get to preach on both Mother's Day and Father's Day this year, so I think I'm going to save a lot of that. It'll give you something to look forward to. But for this morning, the writer of the Hebrews, after giving us a long list of faithful, appointment-keeping people who were by no means perfect, he gives us this challenge. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, a couple of comments here. How is that race run? Leaps and bounds, or one step at a time? And when we think about all of those faithful folks surrounding us like a cloud of witness, he didn't say, since we have so many people to remember. He doesn't say, since we have so many people we learned about. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. They are our witnesses as they watch us walk faithfully as they did. So he says to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto the pastor. No. Looking unto mom. No. Looking unto my friends. No. It says looking unto Jesus, our great example. It doesn't even say that. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus kept his appointment, and now we look unto him as the author and finisher of our faith as we walk step by step, keeping the God-ordained appointments in our lives. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us today, helping and reminding us to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We are saved by grace through faith, and all of that is a gift from you. A gift we thank you for each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Let us rise and sing our hymn of response, Immortal, Invisible, God only.